Good morning. How you doing? Cody, man, where you at? That was amazing. The voice of an angel. Songbird. Well, I am not Randy Shepley, as you can tell. I wish I was preaching on better circumstances. Our prayers are up for the Keeter family and the Shepley family as he's down there. But we as a staff, we are a team. And late Thursday night, he sent an email, said, "You're up, Mike." And I said, "Okay." Of course, everything in Thanksgiving, and then Friday, Black Friday, and then we had Friendsgiving. My wife and I had some friends over Friday, and so I was like, "Well, I guess Saturday, the Lord's going to have to tell me something, but don't give it to me too soon because I can't write it down yet." So yesterday, I came up here and just sat down with the Bible open and just asked the Lord to provide. And so whatever he gave me yesterday, I'm going to give to you this morning. So if it ain't great, let's just go to the Lord in prayer and get out of here. We are starting Advent today, the Advent Conspiracy. If you see our banners, we're going to start off with worship fully, spend less, give more, and love all. This Advent Conspiracy is kind of a new way of life, and I regret to say it's a new way of life, but Christians, we have lost our way when it comes to Christmas because we've joined the busy fray, we've joined the overspending, we've joined the world and how they do Christmas. So this Advent Conspiracy is getting us back to what Christmas is all about, and that's anticipating King Jesus coming. Amen? Today we are doing worship fully. Who's still full from Thanksgiving? Man, I've eaten more food on Thursday and Friday than I have in like a week or 2 weeks, and I'm full, but I'm also ready to worship fully. But we got to do some things if we want to worship fully. The only way to worship fully is to allow Jesus to be the king of our heart. This time of year, we are reminded that Jesus is king. We celebrate his kingship. It's a major theme during the Advent season. The newborn king is coming. Advent is here. Advent is the journey we take as believers to get our heart on track and focus on the coming of King Jesus. In order to get our heart for Jesus, it starts with making Jesus the desire of your heart, because the things we desire are the things we end up worshiping. What we want most of, we tend to worship. The problem with the desires of our heart, though, is that our heart often wants something other, something less than Christ. In life, we need to make room in our hearts. We need to clear out things, people, our schedules, in order for Christ to be our king in our heart. We got to clear the way, make some room for Jesus. When Jesus first came to the world wasn't ready. It did not make any room for him. Yet, a lot of people knew he was coming, right? But they hadn't made room. When Jesus got here, the world didn't even receive him well, right? They knew he was coming. They didn't anticipate him coming, but they knew it. And then when he got here, they didn't receive him well. And these are two of my main concerns with us as the church, that we fill our lives with so many things, so many idols, so many kings. We make our schedule so busy that we aren't ready for his return because we've made no room, because we have so many things taking up space in our heart. We aren't, my second thing is, we aren't preparing the world for his return, which is why the world probably didn't receive him, because they weren't expecting him, and why the world is not going to receive him when he comes again, because we're not letting the world know, oh, he's coming back. These are my two main concerns. So if we want to worship fully, we got a job to do. We've got a clear space in our heart, and we've got to spread the message that he is coming again. So my question for us today is, have you made room for King Jesus? Christmas. Around this time of year, parents and grandparents ask kids to make a Christmas list. A Christmas list is of things you want. Now, growing up, I always had a very difficult time making a Christmas list. I don't know why. Maybe it's because I thought when my brother and sister did it, they were greedy, and so I was like, I don't want to be like them. So I was like, I can't really make a Christmas list. And Mom still demands a list today, and I still don't make one. The only time I made one, and it's the same thing every single year, I asked for two things. Dad, do you remember? Snow. I want snow. I love snow. And more love. And I know you're going to be like, oh, you're the best child. And you're right. I was. I was and I am. We make a Christmas list of all the things we want, the desires of our heart. But Advent conspiracy, we are flipping this idea on its head. If the desires of our heart are to worship Jesus fully, our Christmas list is going to change, right? It's going to stop being about things. What if we, as the local church and as the universal capital C church, what if we made a Christmas list of the things we want? It better look like more hope. We need more hope in this world. Amen. Who's going to give it to it if it ain't the church? We need to have our Christmas lists filled with peace. We have to be peacemakers. Every one of our Christmas list wants needs to be joy. Who wants more joy this season? Hello? This whole back section, they're like, all right, we're good on joy. I don't need any more of it. I smile too much already. And we all want more love, right? Let's hope that that's our real Christmas list of what we want. But if we want to worship fully, the desires of our heart have to change. Open up your Bible to Luke chapter 2. Chapter 2. Now, we're going to talk about Mary and Joseph, and I'm going to give a little insight as to what's happened so far. Mary and Joseph, these are two young teenagers. And I love preaching about Mary and Joseph because I'm a youth pastor. So they would have been in my youth group. And had this scandal broken out in my youth group, I would have been like, uh-oh, I don't know what to say to you. They're going to be like, the angel already told us. And I'm like, okay, I'll pray for you. Bye. They were two young teenagers, probably not well off. They're betrothed to each other. And betrothal is like a contract of being engaged. Like they were fiancés, but it was a contract. They had received these angelic visions and messages about the birth of the Messiah, Jesus Christ. Both kind of wrestled with the meaning of what that meant, but they also wrestled with the reality of it actually coming true because she is a virgin. And you can't have a baby if you're a virgin. So they wrestled with this idea. Joseph wrestled with the idea that he wasn't married to her. So how is he going to raise this boy, this baby Jesus, if he's not really the father? But both trusted God's promise and his plan. They stepped into this wild adventure. But is this what they wanted? Was this on their Christmas list? I guess they wouldn't have one because it's before Christmas. But you know what I mean. Is this what they wanted? Most teenage girls don't ask for more responsibility. Like, oh, let me raise the Son of God. I'll do it. None. I know a lot of youth girls. They ain't asking to do that. But she got something she didn't know that she wanted. Any of you have an iPhone and you get updates and you have to check off the terms and agreements box and you never read it? I think she checked it off and never read it. It's like, this is a lot of things you're going to have to do as the mother of the Son of God. And she was just like, all right, cool, let's just do it. That's why you know she's a teenager. She's just went in willing. No questions asked. But in order to do this, in order to raise King Jesus, she had to have a humble heart of sacrifice. God chose Mary because she was willing. And if we want to worship fully, we need to be willing to sacrifice. Make time in your schedule. Clear out all the other things if you don't have time for Jesus. So we pick up in our scripture. Let's read chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to their own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. Now, let's pause there. Notice how Luke talks about this census three or four times and just kind of hints that Mary's pregnant. Because this is a big deal. Luke gives us this insight as to what the census is all about. We kind of pass by that when we read this, but it is very important for the story. It's very important for who Joseph and Mary were. The census was a symbol of Roman rule. The census really, they didn't care much about what it actually meant. They wanted people to sign over an allegiance to Rome. They wanted to be under the Roman lordship. And what the census did is if you were a male when you were 14 or female at 12, you had to go register. You had to register your properties. This was for taxation purposes and military service purposes. But really, what it came down to was you were signing an oath to be allegiant to Roman leadership. Now, Jewish people would have a serious problem with this, because what it would do is it would serve as this reminder that this alien rule of Rome, they had to sign up for, they had to be loyal to. So it would compromise their loyalty, their allegiance, their fidelity to God, to Yahweh. And so this would have been a struggle, and it's just in this fine print that we don't really read all that much. So Mary and Joseph are traveling down to Bethlehem in this harsh, cold road. And I just have this picture in my mind that Jesus' journey from beginning to end, the world made very difficult for him, didn't it? It wasn't ready. It was not ready for King Jesus. It made his whole life difficult for him because it wasn't ready. It didn't make any room. Why wasn't the world ready? His arrival had been foretold in the book of Micah for over 700 years prior. Why was the world not ready? It says, "But you, Bethlehem, David's country, the runt of the litter, from you will come the leader who will shepherd rule Israel. He'll be no pretender. His family tree is ancient and distinguished." Why was Bethlehem not like teeming with so much excitement every single year, all the time? It wasn't ready. Some people knew of the prophecy and the promise, but I guess they didn't tell the people of Bethlehem. See, I think Mary and Joseph definitely knew the promise of God. They knew the path and the plan. But knowing the path doesn't make walking it easier, right? It doesn't. Mary and Joseph knew the prophecy, most likely, and knowing the prophecy doesn't make this long journey of 90 miles on a donkey while pregnant any easier, does it? God's going to give you He's going to give you a plan. He's going to give you a promise. He didn't say it's going to be easy. He didn't say it's going to be easy. They traveled 90 miles on a donkey, which took about 4 to 5 days. It's like this. Imagine you're a 14-year-old girl, pregnant, no idea what that means, and you're with your little bit older fiancé, and you are traveling 90 miles on a donkey, pregnant. It's the equivalent of you guys riding a donkey as a teenager, pregnant, to Nag's Head. If you were to start here and go to Nag's Head, that's what it would have been like. We think paying the toll is a problem. Imagine the toll it took out on Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus. I mean, this must have been a very harsh road for them. Very harsh. But they knew the promise, so they were obedient. Both had a humble heart of obedience. Mary and Joseph go from normal teenage kids to the talk of the town, their celebrity scandal overnight. The community did not treat her well because she was pregnant out of wedlock. She had to sacrifice the way society saw her. Are you willing to do that? Or am I? Are we willing to put ourselves in a place of obedience even though the world's going to see us differently? They both, in obedience to the prophecy and promise, traveled to Bethlehem. To worship fully, we need to walk in obedience. Now, they didn't live in Bethlehem, did they? They're teenagers. I don't know how many times they'd already been there. Maybe not all. I know they didn't have a summer home there. I know there was no call-ahead reservations for a hotel. We know that much. See, when a census would happen, the cultural expectation of every city was that if you owned a home in that city, you would have to host people. Imagine that. people from all over the country coming to Newport News and staying at your house because they have to. This is what it was like. It was a cultural expectation that you would house somebody or a few people. That's why most people had this guest room, because this would happen. Now, growing up with mom and dad, our house was filled with people all the time. And when I say filled, like, there were people that lived with us for like 3 weeks, 4 years. I kid you not. You could bet two or three times in a week there'd be like 5, 10, 20, 40 people in the house at one time. It was the First Baptist Hostel. That's what it was. If you needed somewhere to stay, come on over to the Adams house. And I loved it. My friends were over all the time. People I didn't know were over all the time. I loved it. The hospitality of my mom and dad just echoed through so many generations of people that have been in this church. But guess who Mary and Joseph didn't have? Mom and dad. I bet you they wish they had. No. The problem was, when you're traveling 90 miles over the course of 4 or 5 days and you're pregnant, it's going to take you a while. And we know most of the whole town was already taken up. Most people already got there, so they were late because there was no room for them in the inn. Let's read verse 6 and 7. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. If there ever was a time when they needed help, some compassion by anybody, now was the time. She was giving birth. She needed help. Now, I love Luke. It's my favorite New Testament book. He's a physician. He got so many interview after interview after interview to find out what the gospel really was, and so he could write it out. He's so descriptive. He's very smart with it. But he didn't tell us about how chaotic this scene must have been, right? Can you imagine how crazy this scene was? They get to where God had foretold in all the ancient texts. They knew this was the place. They were the people being sent because the angel said, I'm sending you. You got to go. God had been leading them to this place the whole time. They sacrificed. They were obedient. And they get to where God had called them to, and there was no room. Nothing was working out. I'm sure Joseph was freaking out. He's got a 9-month pregnant Mary. She's like, oh, my back. I'm a teenager. I've never had back problems. He's knocking on every door. He's like pure chaos. He's like, do you have any room? Do you have any room? Nope. Sorry. No room. And so I imagine the time where he's like, look, listen here, babe. We're going to have to stay with the animals. And she's like, what? Can you imagine that scene? It's crazy to me. She's in pain. There are no nurses, no hospitals, no midwife. No one had a spare room. God's plan led them there, but the world wasn't ready. Following God's will does not guarantee you the comforts of this life. The comforts of the world aren't necessary for God's plans to happen. All they had was a stable and a manger. That nativity scene that you've already put up that looks like everyone's having a good time. Not accurate. It was nasty. It was noisy. Animals everywhere doing what animals do. A woman giving birth. Do you think this is the place that anyone wanted to be? Yet shepherds and wise men flocked to this place. It's noisy. It's chaotic. This is probably not how Mary preferred the birth of her son to be. This is not the scene that she thought it was going to be. But I want you to understand this. God will provide the promise, the plan, the place, and the people, but he's not always going to seek your preference, right? We want the Christian life to be nice, tidy, easy, unobtrusive to our opinions and our plans. But guess what, church? It ain't about you. It ain't about me. He don't care if you're comfortable. He cares that you're obedient. This story doesn't happen if they're not sacrificing and obedient. You see, Mary and Joseph knew how great the promise was of this newborn king. So the process of getting there, no matter how difficult, was worth it. They knew the promise of the newborn king was coming, and they would be the parents. So no matter how difficult the process of getting there was, it didn't matter. It was worth it. For many of us, we lose sight of the promise because the process of following Jesus gets difficult. We struggle with the process because we've lost sight of the promise. We get bogged down by how difficult walking with Jesus can be, especially in this world, because we fail to remember the promise that is Jesus Christ. And then there's some of us that don't even understand the process of God's will. What does God want me to do? He's told you already. So many people just don't understand the process of following Jesus because they haven't been obedient to the promise made. Do you hear me? So many people don't know what to do in God's will because they're not obedient to the promise he's already made. Because we're allegiant to so many things, so many people, and the things in our heart have filled up so much that there's no room for King Jesus, so there's no way we're going to worship fully. I'm sure Mary and Joseph would have loved staying in a guest room, room service, free Wi-Fi. I bet Joseph wished that little tiny bar that was in every room, I bet he wishes he could have had one. I don't know. But it wasn't like that. Instead, they got the stable. They got the animals, the filth, the bare minimum Bethlehem had to offer. For them and us, the way we see it is pure chaos. How does God see it? Everything is going as planned, right? It's an important reminder, when things aren't going well, when nothing seems to be working out, maybe, just maybe, God still knows what he's doing, right? Mary and Joseph trusted in God's plan, even when everywhere they turned, all they heard was, no room, sorry. I got no room for you. Can't help you. The world's going to be like that. Not going to help you. Not. We just need to stay obedient to the promise God has made. Even when things aren't all good, we can still worship a God who is good. When things don't seem to be all good, God is working all of it out for good. See, the world didn't make room for Jesus. The best the world had to offer our king was a stable and a manger, the first true king-sized bed. That's all they had to offer King Jesus. What are you offering to King Jesus? Is it half-hearted worship only on Sundays and maybe Wednesdays and a Bible study on Tuesday night? Is that your worship? Or is your worship a lifestyle, 24/7, 365? What are you offering to King Jesus? Is your worship half-hearted? Have you made room in your heart for Jesus to be king? What do you need to remove from your heart, from your life, in order for there to be room for the one true king, and his name is Jesus Christ? This Christmas season is all about focusing on Jesus' kingship. We need to slow down because there are opportunities to fully worship all the time. Don't miss opportunities to worship fully everywhere. Wednesday, the worst day to go to any grocery store ever, I went to 3 Walmarts and a Target. Dumb. Absolutely dumb. I was making my world-famous collard greens. My wife was making mac and cheese. And I had to get all the stuff. I had to get it all ready. And so because Walmart is pure chaos the day before Thanksgiving, I tried to go down an aisle I didn't need to be on that I knew wasn't going to be food. I knew a lot of people weren't going to be. And so I pushed my cart filled with groceries. And this kid who's like on his knees, he's just like looking at candles or whatever. He's like, hey. And I was wearing a blue shirt. I thought he thought I worked there or something. He's like, hey, do you know Jesus loves you? And I was like, oh. And I stopped. I was like, yes, I do. Do you know he loves you? He's like, yep. And then I started to move. He's like, hey, can I pray for you? And I was like, oh. I turned around. I was like, yes, you can. I'm a pastor, and this is the most busy time of the year for us. At that time, I didn't know I was preaching, so I should have asked for way more prayer. But he said, what can I pray for you about? I said, I need rest. I need to just focus on Jesus during this busy season. Just focus on him. So he asked, can I put a hand on you? I said, yes. Put his hand on my shoulder. He prayed for me. I prayed for him. He said, amen. I was like, man, thank you so much. My name is Michael. It's great to meet you. He's like, my name is Isaiah. I was like, oh, Did you know your name meant God of salvation? He said, oh. I was like, 'tis the season. Christ came to save. Christ came to be the king of your heart, and if you don't have room for him, you will never, ever worship fully. If we're not spreading the message of Jesus Christ, no one's worshiping fully. Don't miss out on the opportunity to make room for Jesus. I think about the people of Bethlehem. How many people missed out on the opportunity to host King Jesus? To host the Savior of mankind. So many people missed out on being part of his story because they were too busy. They had no more room. Are you too busy? You have no more room in your schedule for King Jesus? We got to make room. Don't miss out on the greatest story ever told. If we want to worship fully, it starts with Jesus being the king of our heart. Let's pray. God, you're so good. We are not worthy. We are not worthy of your king. So, Lord, I ask that you clear out room in our hearts for you. You clear out room so that you may be our one and only king. In your name I pray, amen.